Hey, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona, and we are so thrilled that you've made an effort to be with me today. I'll tell you what, it's a Sunday, and we are on the radio with bpnradio.com, and we're just so blessed that Pastor Dale, Gene, for BPN Radio, and you know, it's been such a great pleasure to be with you today, and we appreciate Rick and Ruth, and you know, I encourage you to make a investment in BPN Radio. I tell you what, it's this that time of year of giving, and you know, make a special offering. You know, you can go right down on the bottom of your computer there, your wherever you're at on your iPhones or your smartphones, and make an investment in BPN Radio. We're going around the world, and we're preaching to the lost, and people are getting saved, and we're grateful for that. But today, we want to minister to you some in Luke. You know, it's getting close to Christmas here, another week or so, and you know, it's just a great time and a great season, and great many messages that can be preached and what have you. But I want to preach to you a little bit about Zechariah. And about faith. And so, Paul, are you ready to read over the first chapter? And what is the first verse you're going to start with?
Seventh
verse? Okay. So, Luke, first chapter, seventh verse. And read along with us if you got your Bibles there. And all right, Paul.
But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord of God. He will also go before him in the spirit of in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time."
Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're so grateful for your word, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do right now. Lord, let the word of God go forth out of these lips of clay, Lord Jesus. Help the ears to hear your word out there. I pray your anointing upon people's ears, that they might hear the word of God, that they might understand the word of God. Lord, minister to the people, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody shout amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We are so thrilled to be ministering the Word of God. And when we look at Zechariah and we look at Elizabeth, these are two people that were basically barren. They were up in their old age. Now, I don't know how old age back then would be, but when I consider old age being not able to bear children, it would probably be somewhere in the 45s to 50 years old. A lady usually starts, getting to that place where she could not bear children. I know a lady basically had a child at 48 here a while back, a couple years ago, and everybody was in shock when she got pregnant and what have you. But, you know, it's possible that, they could have been in their 40s or 50s or so, and were barren, without any children. And, you know, back in those days, it was a very kind of a disgrace for any woman that could not bear a child. You know, you look back at Jacob and Rachel, she was barren for so many years, you know. You look at Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was barren for many years, and she couldn't have a child. And God promised them that they would have a child, even in their old age. I mean, when I look at Abraham and Sarah, here we see, you know, they had been promised a child. At he was 75 years old, and she was 65. And anyway, at 99, God came to him again and said, "You're going to have a child." And here Elizabeth, or here Abraham and Sarah, I'm trying to think, you know, how she would be. She'd be 90 years old, 89 years old or so. And he told, God told them they was going to have a child at that age. And I can see her laughing in that tent, you know, 89-year-old woman going to have a baby? You got to be kidding me. I just, I think about that, you know, but God's promise was true. God was at 100. Abraham has a child. Sarah has a child at 90 years old. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what, God is faithful. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes we can't see that baby. Sometimes we can't see what God is going to do. Here we see Zachariah, and in his old age, you know, he laughs about it. I can see him. He says, you know, how can that be? I'm an old man, and my wife is old. How could I and my wife have a child at this age? Here it was, Zachariah was basically a priest. It was his week to do the sacrifices and what have you. And as he was doing the sacrifice, an angel comes to him. Gabriel comes to him. Now, there's two angels that are mentioned by name in the New and Old Testament. Gabriel is one of them, and Michael is the other one. And we know that Gabriel is the one that delivers messages and what have you. We see him several times in the Old Testament, and here he appears in the New Testament for the first time to Zachariah. And boy, I tell you what, something awesome happens. I could just say, imagine Zachariah in that doing incense and doing the sacrifices, and here an angel appears to him on the right side of the altar, and tells him, you know, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John. Wow. And I can't see that happening in his old age. But you know what? God is able. There is nothing impossible with God. Isn't that so awesome when you really think about it? Nothing is impossible with God. We see the stars put into, you know, the strung out into the heavens. We see the earth rotating around the sun. How can all of these be? You see the DNA of an individual. You see all of the things that are a makeup of an individual. I cannot imagine anything just being happened by coincidence, you know. And so I know that God is alive. He's awesome. He is real, and that's why everything that we see in life is you know, is perfect. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, but God is on the throne and he's still in charge. You know, I think about all of the things that he does. You know, he says he put us, you know, he knew us before we were even born. He knew us before we was even thought of. Hallelujah. And we are the ones that he has, made in the image of him. Praise God. Made in the image of God. Glory to his name. Can you just imagine that? In the image? Oh, my. That is so awesome. Praise God. It is, there's only, they say that there's another person that's your twin, but he's never exactly just alike. There is something different, never individual. God has made us special. Praise God. There's no duplication out there for humans that we know of. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we look at this guy. We look at Elizabeth, and we think about, what is going on, with Elizabeth. And, as Zacharias comes out, and, he could not believe what the angel was telling him, what Gabriel was telling him. He says, now, since you do not believe my words, you're going to be deaf and, basically you will not be able to speak until that baby is born. And so I tell you what, Zacharias goes ahead and goes home, and sure enough, Elizabeth, she gets pregnant. And we see something happening at 9 months. There's something that really happens, also in the middle of the term that is so awesome. Mary, she's been told that she's going to have a child. This is a virgin. This is a young lady that's 13, 14 years old, probably. It doesn't say that she was a lady as of yet, but a young child, in essence. But here it was. She was a virgin, but she is told that she's going to have a child. And, she says, so be it, whatever you say. Huh? I can just imagine, she believed that the angel, whatever the angel had told her, that it was going to take place. Now, that's hard to understand, Hey, she says, how can I know that I'm going to be pregnant when I've never known a man, never had any type of intercourse or of any kind, and she was a virgin, and she just couldn't understand how that she could be pregnant, but she accepted it anyway. And when she got ready, she was told that her aunt or cousin or whoever it is, that Elizabeth was her kin, that she was going to have a child also, and that she made an effort. She made an effort to go and see Elizabeth. And as she walked into the house, it says that Elizabeth that felt the baby jump in her womb. When she seen Mary, the baby jumped, and she had never felt the baby at any other time. And so I understand that basically that child was probably about 6 months in the womb. And that's about 5 or 6 months is when they start really moving around, and you can feel them, and they start to, I know that when my wife was pregnant, I tell you what, those boys, I tell you what, you could feel them, feel like they was having a boxing match, in the wound. It was like boom, 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 you could feel it. It's just like, man, they're kicking up a storm, and they're really active. I tell you what, it was just amazing to me how active they could be, at times, and moving around and stretching and getting ready to come out of that wound and what have you. And, boy, oh boy. But we see Elizabeth, when she sees Mary, she begins to prophesy, and she begins to talk, and she knows that, without anybody telling her, that Mary is the one that is going to have a child, that child is going to be the special one, the Savior of the world, the one that they're going to call, you know, Jesus and Jehovah, who saved the world. And I tell you what, there was a miracle that happened that day. And we just see something awesome happening. I tell you what, I just believe the Lord is trying to tell us all, you know, all the things that are happening in America and around the world, that Jesus is about ready to come again. You know, he came, you know, over 2,000 years ago and came from the throne of grace. And how could he do that? How could he come as a little child? You talk about a miracle. This is a total miracle. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave up that throne up in heaven to save the world. He says, yes. When God asked him, you know, can you go? Can you go as a little child? Go and suffer and go through all of the heartaches and pains that an individual as a human being would go through, and then give your life upon that cross that the people might be saved, that they might believe, that there might be a change in their lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just, thank the Lord that Jesus was willing to give up his life. You know, at 30 years old, he basically starts his ministry, and for 3.5 years, I tell you what, he preaches up and down, the Sea of Galilee and Jerusalem and all of the different places around that area. And I tell you what, he just has a tremendous following. When we see the 5,000 that were fed, 5,000 men that he fed upon that hillside. Can you just imagine how many, boys and girls, and how many ladies that was there too? It's possible that there might have been 15 to 20,000 people there. Who knows? But they said it was 5,000 men. And then there was 4,000 men at another place. And so we see a lot of miracles that Jesus did during his time upon this earth. And I tell you what, it is just totally awesome to think what all he did, and the miracles, the healing of the blind, healing of the lame, healing those, the lady that was with, you know, that touched the hem of his garment. I tell you what, there's so many miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You just need to read them. I tell you what, it's just totally, totally great. I think about John 14:1. One of my favorite scriptures, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. He says, let not your heart be anxious. Don't let it be troubled during this time, this Christmas time. Don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. I tell you what, that's a lot of times people don't understand. You know, why is it that Christmas is such a time for people to commit suicide and what have you? Is because they don't have a purpose. They don't have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come to the Lord and have a purpose in their lives. Have something going for them. I just feel like, you know, a lot of times we've got to have a purpose, each one of us. You know, if you don't have a purpose, I just believe that you're missing the mark. And, you know, Paul tells us we got to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Do we have a mark? Do we have a purpose? Do we have a goal? Do we have something in our back of our minds that we need to be shooting for? You know, if you got a bow and arrow and you're not shooting at anything particular, if you don't have a target out there, what are you going to be shooting at? That's why we've got to have a target for ourselves. Do you have a goal in mind? Do you, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, the people are perishing all around us. And are we having a goal of reaching those people around your neighborhood? Are you having a purpose of reaching friends and neighbors at work, those loved ones? Do you have a purpose in life? This is a time a lot of people get together with friends and relatives during this Christmas season. Are we really you know, showing them what it is to be a Christian. Are we letting our light shine when we have parties and what have you? There's many parties that are going to be taking place during Christmas and New Year's. And are we really allowing our light to shine in this dark world today? I just believe today is the day of salvation. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have more abundantly life. Think about that. John 10:10, he says the devil, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. But he says, I came to give you life and more abundantly. So are you willing to follow the Lord? Are you willing to give up the old world? Are you willing to give up all of the things, all the parties and all of them? Junk that goes on, all the drugs and all the alcohol, all the situations, you know, that are going around, all the pornography. Are you willing to give it up and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I lay it down. I lay my life down for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I know I'm talking to some people out there that's Christian people that you're on the fence. You're just about halfway in and halfway out. And the Bible says, you know, that you cannot serve two masters. I just encourage you to make a decision today. Make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and give up the world. Give up that ambition of making millions of dollars. What is your priorities today? Or what are you looking at today? You need to place your hand into the Lord Jesus Christ. What you lay up for heaven is what's going to count. It's not what you lay up here on this earth, but what you lay up for in heaven. You know, I know that a lot of people, you know, think about those souls. You know, I ask a lot of times, you know, how many people are you going to win for the Lord this year? Have you got a goal? Have you really reached out to your loved ones and your friends and your neighbors? Are you listening what I'm asking you today? The fields are white. John 4:35, he says the fields are white. They're ready for harvest. That means that your neighbors, your friends, and your loved ones, they're all looking and desiring something. And a lot of people are saying, there's no sense in worrying about it. Jesus is not coming. There's never going to be a rapture of a church. There's never going to be a trumpet sounding. I tell you what, I know that there is going to come a day that Jesus is coming. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be next year, it may be 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. But you know what? We need to be ready. We need to be ready. You know, your time upon this earth, it could be, you know, we only have a guarantee of this moment. It may be the next moment. You may be in, be gone. Your life may be snuffed out. They may be drawing your last breath. I don't know. But if you are you really ready? I ask you that question. Are you really, really ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? I just pray that you are. I know that God is able to minister to you today. I ask you, Lord, right now to minister to people's hearts, Lord. Touch their lives, Lord. Minister to them in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. We lift them up today, Lord. If you've not been saved, if you never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ today, I ask you right now to just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all of those sins that I've committed, Lord. Oh, God, I repent of all of them, Lord Jesus. I ask you right now and to come into my heart. I accept you now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you really meant that, I tell you what, give us an email. My email is ronlester45@gmail.com. That's Ron, R-O-N, Lester, L-E-S-T-E-R, 45@gmail.com. I'll just be glad to email you and talk to you. And if you want to give me your phone number, I'll be glad to, you know, respond to it and what have you. But I just believe that God has got something for you. I just believe there's people out there that you're ready to step up to the plate and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to serve you with all my heart. I want to have a purpose. I want to have a vision of souls. I just believe that the Lord wants to minister to people's hearts. Oh God, during this season, I just feel an urgency right now that you need to accept the Lord, that you need to get on fire for God. You know, Jesus died. Jesus came as a little babe. Oh, can you just imagine that? Giving up his throne and then dying upon that cross. Having hands pierced, his side pierced, his legs pierced with those spikes. And then a crown of thorns put upon his head, driven into his head, and blood coming down his face all around it. Oh my, in the name of Jesus, can you just see that? Open your eyes to see the agony that he went through. Those 39 stripes that he took upon his back for your healing and my healing. By his stripes we are healed. You know, I heard something this week that is very important. When we want an answer, we need to say, God, you said, by your stripes I am healed. You need to be as a defense attorney or a prosecuting attorney, use the word God, you said, and use the word of God. You know, God, you said that whatever the cankerworm stole from me, that it would come back to me sevenfold. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God, you said, whatever I sow, it shall return to me 30, 60, 100-fold. Oh, God, you said, by your stripes, I'm healed today. Today I'm healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, you said, whatever I bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever, oh, hallelujah. Whatever is bound, oh, glory to his name. Whatever, you know, I touch, whatever I touch will be blessed. You know, it says, you know, to meditate on the word of God. God, you said, whatever I meditate on the word, I shall have great success. In Psalms, the first chapter and the verses 1, 2, and 3, meditate on the word. Joshua, you know, 4 or 5 times God told Joshua to be strong in the Lord. And that's what we've got to do. We got to be strong in the Lord. And here this whole thing today is basically, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, glory to his name. I just encourage you today to read the word of God. Read the Christmas story in Luke, the first and second chapter of Luke. I tell you what, it will be a blessing to you. Read it several times for the next few weeks. I tell you what, I know that God will bless you. And there be something that would just bubble up within you, the joy of the Lord. He is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. God bless you today. I know that God is real. God is alive. This is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona. And we're so glad that you joined us and that you have gotten something from the Lord today, that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God bless you. We love you. And we're just excited that you've joined us. In Jesus' name. See you next week. God bless you.